I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for
Plenty Questions.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I can't bring myself to do the opening because Clara's gone home.
That is not good.
I'm a bit sad about that. Clara and Aliash were in the dance-off with Jamie, which is the one little ray of sunshine here.
Yeah.
That people aren't voting for you, you big faker.
Yeah.
But terrible result, inevitable, I guess. But she did have an absolute stinker of a week this week. But she will be greatly missed. And she had a lot more to give, I think,
totally.
In terms of being someone who is a natural dancer who will get better if she gets the chance. It's just
she
a
was
bit
my
of a gutter.
Sort of one of my fantasy finalists, as in
me
someone
too.
Whose journey would have been amazing. And I think that the people we've got left,
yeah,
I was expecting some of them to be great originally. It's been quite a surprise thing from the first lineup, the roles people had. You'd think that Caroline Quentin would be the one who stayed in for the mums.
Because there's some excitement in seeing them, you know, blossom and and grow and all that kind of stuff.
But
some quite boring people are left in the competition now.
But I think that what's been unexpected is that some of those people who I probably thought were boring are starting to warm up.
Mm.
And therefore, some of the people I thought, oh, I'll watch their journey go the whole distance,
aren't getting let go.
And I think that it shows it's been quite a strong cohort this year.
It is. I mean, it's brutal. She literally just had one bad week and that's it. She's gone now. And that seems unnecessarily brutal. But there we go. That's the way it
she
goes.
She's one of my favourites.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to go.
Yeah, one of my favourites too. No more legs. Gutted.
Oh.
So, Ranveer and Gio were dance number 4.
American Smooth.
American Smooth. She got her first 10 last week. So, you know, she's on the up and up. And just obviously growing ever so slightly in confidence every week. It's really sweet when they cut back to her training videos this week and she's still kind of a bit unsure. And she's definitely got more, just a bit more self-confidence now, but she still looks like she's a bit scared to, you know, really lose herself.
There was a lovely detail in the training video where she, every time she got lifted, she burst out laughing.
Oh, she found them hilarious. They are hilarious,
and
I imagine, when you're up there.
What it is, I mean, there's a piece of psychology. You go, I don't deserve to be lifted up. This
is
a ludicrous thing for me to be doing. And it just got me right in the heart. And I thought, I think at the beginning, there's always someone, Shirley's very good on this, who's there for the mums, who's there for the dads. Bill Bailey's there for the dads, the wedding dancing dads. He's
just
showing, God, you can do amazing things with your fitness and stamina and things. And Ranveer has been where I thought Caroline Quentin would be.
Yes, me too.
She's the one for the sort of the mums, basically, who said
she's flying a flag for women just slightly past the, you know, peak of their 30s or whatever.
And what she's doing something really primal, which is in the DNA of Strictly Come Dancing. She is a dancing newsreader.
Yeah.
Which is the Eric
she's
and
Angela
Ernie.
Rippon.
And it's comic relief. We watch this show because we always liked it on Comic Relief or Children in Need, where newsreaders did a dance.
Someone a bit stiff and formal, usually, suddenly having to let go and do some flicks and tricks.
She's got the essence of Michael Aspel being replaced by an acrobat and then flipping across the screen. It's something the British people have always loved, and she's got that in spades. And that little training video where she went, what she was saying effectively is, it can't be me.
Yeah.
And the answer is, yeah, it is. You're
totally,
brilliant.
Totally can be you. You're awesome. Again, they styled her brilliantly. She just looked so romantic and sort of soft And I just, I wrote, aww. That's basically my comment on this dance. It just, she always gets my heart right in, right to the centre.
Her storytelling's really good. They did sort of a classic American like 60s pop hit, and it had a sort of Doris Day movie vibe to
it. And they
were
kind of a cute married couple doing the crossword, listening to the radio, who kind of just remembered the spark that first brought them together. And it was just incredibly sweet.
And she sells it so well. But she sells things like the storytelling and the character stuff you wouldn't expect from your newsreader.
Oh, no. And then Craig picked her up on her acting and just said it's really... It's brilliant. It's really surprising how good she is at it.
We had no right to expect it from her, because sometimes when you get the news people in, the political reporters or the sofa people from the morning shows, and you get a feeling with them and you went, oh, I bet you were actually probably drama school or wanted to be a ballerina or something.
Yeah, there's no sense of that with her at all.
I think she's a journalist. She wanted to be a broadcaster or a TV presenter, clearly. Mm. But there's none of this in her, in the way they're selling her.
Yeah.
So you're going, oh, it's me. It's a really, really inclusive.
Very relatable. She's the nearest we've got to... how you might feel if you were thrust into that whole Steps world. Yeah.
It pairs her with Bill, I think, as they're a little pair in here going, I want to see both of those couples go
and
all the way.
They're just authentic. They're plainly authentic. They're not laying it on thick or trying to pluck your heartstrings. She's just getting through something she clearly finds really challenging, but she's doing it with such aplomb and
but
such
But also enjoyable
sparkle.
Because he throws her out doing a solo start almost every week.
Every week. Did it again this week, solo start.
Show off what you can do, and she just beams and you go, oh, is that what you can do? And she can see, she's going, I'm doing this, I'm dancing,
it's great.
I'm dancing.
It really is clever to choreograph that in every week, because it lets you see her unsupported, unencumbered. You feel slightly nervous for her. You think, oh God, this is it, she's going to do it on her own again. And then when she pulls it off, you kind of feel a little cheer of triumph for her.
Very often for those dancers who've come from a non-dance background, you can see the choreography the other way around, where they're desperate, the solo dancers, to have someone sitting, nodding on a bench while the pro dancer does a dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've put her in the completely opposite position. And it's very often, it's just him watching her dance.
It's amazing.
It's lovely.
It is. But he's supporting her with his eyes. It's so lovely. They literally didn't let go of each other this week. I hope they're having a lovely time in the training room and indeed out of the training room. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
And just that is my hope. My foolish heart hopes that. But they look really comfortable together, really happy together. Shirley said that the weight and they talk about putting the weight on a particular part of your foot to ease a certain style of dance. She's getting that apparently down really well now, obviously things we wouldn't notice. She's got the best lady frame in the business, apparently. Shirley said her
there's
frame,
a boast.
Well, but she was doing
you
that,
might see
training,
that in a phone box on a card.
Lady frame.
Best lady frame in town. New lady frame in town.
Get your mind out of the gutter, and indeed the phone box. But yeah, her, when she was training, because it's an American smooth, you can do a bit more of the tricks and lifts. And she was saying how hard it is to snap back into frame when that frame is so pronounced. It's the one where they really chuck their head back into the side and their shoulders stay down, but their hips are in and their
JFK
shoulders are back.
JFK headshot.
Yeah,
pose.
Yeah, yes.
Back into the left.
Did you have to? Yes, it's just like that. It's just like she'd been shot through the head. No, she did her frame brilliantly, and Shirley really noticed that. She said she's got her money on her for the final, which in these crazy times where you can't tell who's going to be at top of the leaderboard each week is a really good show of confidence for her. Anything they can do to build her up, they should just do it, because she needs the reassurance. But she is just great. Motsy said that the connection between the two of them was great. Their partnering was great. She wants them to spice it up.
Ooh.
Does she want them to like do it?
Is that
in front of everyone?
is that what has to happen? I mean, they have been locked away from the rest of us. They're upriver. Their methods may become unsound. Maybe it's like Lord of the Flies, and they're just basically going to become savage at some point.
Wow.
And the final is just going to be everyone rutting publicly. The thing that often happened, like in alleyways behind bars, that became like a thing. It's just going to be open. We're just going to watch beautiful people with dance toned bodies writhing. Is that what we need? Is that what we need?
Do you want to take 5 minutes? We get you a glass of water.
I don't know. It just seems like that might cheer everyone up at Christmas.
Festive.
That and the Queen's message being delivered by Olivia Colman, we'll be happy.
Oh, yes, please. So on board for that. Yeah, Craig said that the lifts were really good, but timid. He wanted more, something a bit, they played it safe. He wanted something. And you don't realise until you watch someone who's never been lifted before doing even just that one work that she did with Gio, where he kind of just lifted her up and she sort of bent bent her head down and sort of her limbs went long. Even that is so difficult to do and made her burst into fits of giggles that, you know, it just shows you what some of the others are doing, the really athletic ones, Harvey and Maisie. Some of the stuff they're doing is so incredibly ballsy and brave.
Them saying that, watching her giggle when she got lifted and then Craig pointing out, which I quite like it when Craig points it out and you go, oh, that was in the introduction video. But obviously Craig wasn't watching the introduction video.
No, he wouldn't be.
But you go, okay, you're agreeing with the sentiment I got as a lay person watching it. Oh, she's a little bit stiff and she's worried about the lift.
It's careful. Everything's quite careful.
But what's great about that is it's a bit like something we've talked about before, which is horse riding.
Yeah.
And you see actors do it and you go, I've never been on a horse. It looks terrifying.
Yeah, really hard.
But you watch people do things on television that you go, oh, everyone can ride a horse.
And you
everyone
just criticise it. Oh, just,
everyone can do a cartwheel.
That lift was very easy. I guarantee if we tried to do it now, we're not going to. We've both got, you know, bad backs. We're very, very old. We'd find it impossible. Like the just
they should
the
do a thing where they should just have in the middle of it between instead of having like Gary Barlow on to sing, they should get an ordinary couple of people on and they should try and do one of the dances so you can calibrate.
That would be great
to see how hard it is. I want them to just pick two random people from the audience and say, right, do a foxtrot.
I think that would be good to a Gary Barlow soundtrack though. Yeah, I think that would be the ideal soundtrack. Gary Barlow for two
performs,
people not really managing it very well.
On his feet, stiff, forgetting where they were. It happened to me. I remember going to the darts once and seeing between bouts of proper darts players, a couple of pub darts players had won a competition to come up and be on the big stage at the venue. And they threw, and it was just amazing. You'd had a whole day of 180, 140, 180. Yeah. And it was like 12.
Oh, no.
26. And these were guys who'd won a competition to be up there. Yeah. And I think we need the equivalent of that in Strictly.
That would be great.
I want a control in the experiment. It could be celebrities if you want to. Just pick someone from the cast of EastEnders.
Yeah.
Someone who's been evicted from I'm a Celebrity should go in to Strictly Come Dancing and they say, right, go, just dance.
It should just be called, oh yeah, you do it. every week, just, oh yeah, you do it.
And at the end of it, all the judges should have fags on and go, map it, and that should be it.
So Ranveer and Giovanni got all eights across the board for their dance. I thought that was pretty fair.
Yeah.
I think she's got a level of proficiency now that you just can't argue with, but she's always still, there's a 4% of her that she's not able to give because she's still trying to be careful to not overstep herself, to keep in her place. And I just think, again, it's confidence with her. It's a lovely performance to watch. It's not like it's hard to watch her. It's a delight to watch her. I just want her to believe that last few percent.
I think that's why she is out on her own at the beginning of all the things. He's just saying to her, look,
we're starting like this.
You can't come to me every week and say you can't do this because I just let you go out there and you ace this. Yeah. I think that's a confidence building thing for him. And I think it's him just saying, look, you flew. Come on, you can fly.
It's really sweet watching the two of them. I think that he's just so for her. And obviously they all are, apart from Jamie and Karen. They're just all really for their celebrities and want them to do well. And I think particularly those two, it's just a nice relationship they've got. Really hope they're kissing. Okay, next up, favourites of the night. Always for me, favourites of the night. Even though I don't think this wasn't his best dance, but Bill and Oti did a jive to some sort of rock and roll something or other. Oh, no, it was Blondie, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what was brilliant is that I saw someone on Twitter joking about this, said, all right, I'm sitting down to wait for Bill and Oti's jive, and it was like 9 in the morning. If you hear Bill and Oti are going to do a jive and he's going to be dressed up in rocker gear, you go, to be honest.
Yes, please.
That's what I'm watching this series for. It was the perfect Bill routine.
It really was.
And it was to like a cool punk number. And you go, that's exactly his thing. As much as like Harvey's was completely in his key.
Yeah.
This was exactly what you want to see Bill and Oti do.
It was great. He was dressed in a kind of biker styly. I imagine they were just his clothes that he had from a few years ago because he fits everything again now because he's tiny. He's amazing.
It looked like, weirdly, in that gear, the sort of slightly rocker thing with him, all I could think of was Richard O'Brien.
It
was a really rocky horror thing. This bald guy with straggly hair.
It's because of the bald pate with the long hair.
A real sort of riff-raff of routine. You went, this is actually really fun.
Oh, he'd have done that for Halloween. It'd have been brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. Anyway, yes, the energy. I mean, obviously, they do say a lot about, for a man of your age, absolutely marvellous. But honestly, his stamina, when you get to the end of a jive, you expect to see the flicks and kicks getting a little bit less fulsome. He did absolutely push himself to the end of this routine without dropping pace, without dropping energy. There was apparently there was one mistake. I didn't notice it. Motsy noticed it, but she loved the energy. Craig said it was stompy. I don't think it was stompy, but I think it was because the jive is such a magnifying glass on your agility.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think it was ever so slightly not as good as, you know, a younger man's probably version of this dance.
It didn't flow quite as well. It didn't flow quite as well as other ones of his dances have done.
No.
You watched repeatedly the other ones because you can't believe that he's suddenly in a new bit and each bit flows from the previous bit. This felt a little bit more disjointed.
Yes, perhaps.
Because I think the energy level was so high.
Yeah.
And it had a powerful message that representational art is best.
Yes, of course.
His abstract painting of...
she hated the abstract one.
When it looked like a proper painting, like Jack Vetriano might do.
Yeah.
That was going for Middle England. And they were in Paris for no reason at all. I liked that. There was an Eiffel Tower behind them. And you went, yes, because I always associate Blondie with Paris. The definitive French band, aren't they? I was thinking... this should have the Empire State Building, but there is no more New York band than Blondie. But it was the Eiffel Tower.
CBGBs.
It was fine.
Yeah, no,
it was fine.
But, you know, I think they're always playing to Bill's strengths. I half expected, because they've made him play the drums and God knows what other musical instruments during his dances, that they just made him stop and do a painting halfway through his drive and then just carry on.
He could have played, there was obviously Dave Archer's band. They had got, God, someone in Dave Archer's band had got the right synthesizer.
Ooh.
There was such a Blondie synth note at the beginning.
Nice.
I went, oh, that's nice.
You were impressed.
It was a 78 vintage synth. It was good.
Oh, that's so nerdy.
I imagine that would have distracted Billy. He'd have gone, oh, I've got a profit.
He probably wanted to have a play with the synth if it was a proper old one. Anyway, yes, so Motsy loved the energy, pointed out the mistake. Craig said it was stompy. Anton starts booing Craig for calling it stompy. And they have a brilliant little to and fro.
Pantodame.
Which finally references the fact that Anton's back now on the subs bench and Craig was being wonderfully catty about it.
I just love that. There should be more of that. I mean, especially, again, they're locked down together. The team feel of this one, where they're sort of having a go. So when they're throwing across, it doesn't feel, because there's no audience there, they're doing it for each other.
Yeah, they are.
Or a minimal audience. It feels more like the Kenny Everett show where you could hear the cameramen giggling or Swap Shop or something.
It's got a really,
weirdly, it's a very, very BBC, family BBC feeling.
It does feel like that.
I just really like.
I mean, any show that's utilised that, I hate to reference this show on such a nice podcast, but early years, when Top Gears came back as that sort of people chatting in a warehouse and this kind of slightly more informal feel around it, TFI Friday, those kind of shows where they make it feel like, well, The Big Breakfast, where you're kind of in on the joke,
the
you're part
jokes,
of the gang, they're showing you some of their workings. There's a bit of a sense of the backstage coming to the fore. It just makes you feel a bit more included somehow. And it does work in
Blue Peter always
favour.
Did that. It's a real children's TV trick to say, here's the crew.
This is the building we're filming in.
It feels the whole of lockdown has had that. Bake Off had it this year where they sort of said at the end of Bake Off you saw all the crew and you went, I really like seeing the people who make the programmes.
Yeah.
That's why I like titles at the end of things. But this feels like part of that world where, as a kid, I liked shows where you got to see the producer in the booth or hear voices and things.
Definitely.
And then them doing a bit of crosstalk and things was just lovely character work.
Yeah.
And you went, more of that.
If it can be naturally occurring, because Craig played a blinder with that, I thought it was lovely. They got all eights for this jive, which I thought was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I expected maybe a seven from Craig or something because he was talking about it being stompy, but no, good. I mean, he was on time. It was great. It was really great.
This
but
was
at
week
this
of
stage
the eights.
Of the game, yeah, it's week of
You're
the eights.
You're going to get an eight.
A jive is so exposing for whether your legs are made of rubber or not. Most people's legs not made of rubber, it turns out.
There's an element to this which is with this one with Bill, is that I think if you'd said to me at the beginning what dance will Bill be able to do, I'd have said probably a jive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A rock and roll dancer. And like, it's him. And oddly, him with his seriousness of purpose.
Yeah.
In the other dances has been hilarious and yet endearing that he's so
because
serious.
He's just committed
100%. Weirdly, this felt a little less surprising because being a big sort of mean rocker face, which he had on. So do the dance. But also I went, yeah, it's a bit of a Bill Bailey one. So oddly, I felt there was a 5% less delight here because I wasn't as shocked by it.
But still,
and he's been a surprise every week. And, and this was this week he went, I could believe Bill Bailey could pull off Dancing to Blondie.
Yeah, but we mustn't discount the just the amount of energy it takes
it was stamina.
To basically hop from foot to foot in a skillful way for 90 seconds without stopping. Just not there wasn't a bit where he got to, you know, sometimes the celebs doing a really high energy routine, the choreography will incorporate a bit where maybe they catch their breath for 2 seconds while their partner does something twirly-whirly. None of that in here. He was just on the move.
She sends him all over the stage. Well, he's doing all the prop work. So she's always, as well as he's dancing, he's got to get to the place where the guitar is or the painting is.
And get that timing right and flip things over.
She trusts him to do that. And he always hits his marks.
He always, always does. So yeah, 8s for him.
Hi, I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
Then we come to JJ and Amy, who did a Viennese waltz to a song I neither know nor care to remember now, but it was called Rescue, apparently. Something about I Will Rescue You, you know, something like that.
Yep.
And he did it in a kilt. Now, I wish, this is the only time this week that I wish Mark was sitting where you're sitting now.
I know what he feels about JJ, and I'm going to represent Mark's opinions here.
Okay, cool.
In that I think this is, the word I've written down was shameless. And what JJ has done so far is he's appealed to disability.
Yeah.
He's appealed to royalists.
Yeah.
He's appealed to people who like the military or believe
people
in
people who love war.
War, fans of war. Like, again, like Hitler. Him and Jamie very much appealing to Hitler.
Warmongers. We're calling them warmongers.
Wherever Hitler is in South America, he's watching this and enjoying it. But I said, well, he's done this already. He went, wait, what else can I apply? Which other team can I apply to? Appeal to? So he's gone for Scottish people.
Yeah.
I think next week it'll be his blood group. He'll be appealing to other people who are O. And the week after that, he'll hold up his Nectar card and said, who shops at Sainsbury's? He's going to go shamelessly for a demographic each time around and just go, I'm one of you guys.
Yeah, I think you're
right. And
frankly,
it's disgraceful. Yeah. And basically, that kilt is inexcusable. And I know the kilt's cool, but I was thinking, if he just had a towel around his waist, they look the same, like he'd come out of the bath. That would not be cool, but it's the same.
The same. There you go. You've just defended an entire nation. Congratulations.
It looked like Groundskeeper Willie's wedding. It was just not as cool as he thinks it is.
It rather did. No, you're right. Now you've said that, I can't unsee it. I think, in all seriousness, this is my favourite dance of theirs. I've not really been that, I don't know, just I'm just not asked about them now. This is terrible.
Because you don't
it?
Like war.
This is how spoiled I am.
Yeah,
I sit
Guardian.
There with this. So I am so anti-guard, so lefty. I have the selection box with these incredible, you know, hard-working people every week. And now I'm just like Caligula going, bored, no, take half a bite, spit it back out.
Down.
No, don't like that one. Boring.
Bring on the lions.
It's almost like, you know, Jamie, I imagine, treats his household staff. So Jamie is, sorry, Jamie, so JJ, he did dance this really, really well. They talk about his acting a lot, but he didn't, he just did one thing, which was look a bit sort of forlorn.
Yeah.
And kind of yearny. I mean, that's fine, but it's not like a huge range of emotions, is it? But anyway, he's not an actor, so good. Good
it
on
was
him.
The kind of thing, it had sort of a nice cheese about it. It was the kind of thing you can imagine that Americans who go to visit Loch Ness would cry during. It had sort of a cheesy...
An Urquhart castle on the banks of the Loch.
Outlander appeal. It's that kind of thing. And you go, it's Outlander, isn't it?
That Scottish thing Highland, that you don't watch. Yeah.
My friend goes, Highlander or Outland.
Yeah.
Both have got Sean Connery in. No, it's not that. It's that one. But it had that kind of cheesy, I don't know, getting a tube of a Highland Piper, of a plastic
bread.
Tube.
Yeah, dancing shortbread. Amy does do that thing, though, or oatcakes, whatever. but Amy does do those cheesy, yearning, you know, emotional fueled dances really well. She's and her performances are always so good.
When catches her, she's
completely
giving everything down the lens.
And she knows how to really turn that up to 11. She's very, very comfortable. And she said she was going to do a really emotional dance, and she was telling him in training, this week we need to emotional. What, like they haven't done it every week. Try to twang our heartstrings and make their nans cry. But anyway, it was good. I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed any of their dances, which is like, you know,
I thought oddly
not
the,
much.
The slight sort of sentimentality of it and the sort of the heroic sort of Rob Roy-ness of it suited him and her really well. I think their personality types suit that, and the way he sold himself. It was a really nice thing, and it was really nice to see him do that in a metaphorical way, like, so I will be your sort of doomed hero,
yeah,
rather than going, I'm going to dress as a Royal Marine and talk about when I got injured, which is always a bit on the nose. But weirdly, the metaphorical version of him saying, look, I'm a soldier.
It was much easier to swallow, wasn't it?
It was great. And I thought the cheesiness, I completely forgave because it's a ballroom dance and it was great.
Yeah.
I thought, it was elegant and enjoyable.
Yeah, me too. I did actually enjoy this one. It's a Viennese waltz as well. So there's lots of fleckling and spinning and it's quite pleasing on the eye.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've done a Viennese waltz, I think, on Strictly, where someone hasn't gone on and on about how sick it makes them and how they've needed to take travel tablets and whatever.
He's been in a helicopter and things, probably.
He's used to like high G-force. He's probably fine.
He's trained for it. They do it. They have to do a Viennese waltz as part of their training. They do it on Dartmoor, like carrying a fridge.
In bare feet. Yeah. Craig said it was charming and gorgeous. I love it when he says that. Shirley said it was understated and beautiful. Motsy said that his standing leg was very good. And then this week she did a lot of gobbledygook. Like, it's taking her a good week to get back into gathering her thoughts enough to be coherent. I mean, sometimes she is, and then sometimes it's like she's had a stroke.
I think she was a bit unused to being in a dress rather than in like sweatpants and a hoodie. She's been on a sofa for a couple of weeks.
She misses her leisure wear, let's face it. Tess said, you made Scotland proud.
Especially Amy, who's the Scottishest Welsh person there's ever been. I mean, it was a Celtic.
Oh, it's all
union.
Not English, isn't it? It's all the same thing. It's all like,
Where is it? What is it? It isn't even a country.
And then obviously, just if they hadn't kicked us in the emotional testicles hard enough, they showed JJ a film of his little girl dancing along to his dance from last
week.
That
was lovely.
And it was lovely. And you cried like a giant baby.
Yeah, because it was really lovely.
It was really lovely. Mark would disown you as a friend.
They've got this as a little advantage this year, I think. They can turn on the waterworks with absent families and things like that because they are locked away.
Because we're all feeling the loss of people,
They're sacrificing seeing their families or being locked in a bubble with them.
It's good to be reminded of that. 8 weeks is a long time not to see your children. Yeah, exactly.
And people are starting to think about it and they're going, well, am I going to risk it? What does the advice mean? People are thinking about their mums and dads and their kids and stuff.
Exactly.
And I think they're completely legitimate as the nation's entertainment show to have a little bit of that in there.
And milk it dry as the desert. So that put, briefly, JJ and Amy second on the leaderboard, which is very nice for them.
27.
I know. Then, to close the show, Maisie and Gorka did a beautiful, I mean, this is my favourite dance of the series, I think, so far, quick step, where she just became Ginger Rogers. Like, she properly did, like a slightly cockney version of Ginger Rogers. Just the sense of humour, the comedy timing, never mind the actual skill at dancing, cartwheeling. She got to really show her skill and her confidence and her fast feet. The quick step is just absolute lightning steps across the floor, covering loads of ground.
She was doing so many things at once. I mean, you talk about Ginger Rogers, a backwards and heels
thing. And making
it
look so easy.
It was so funny. It was witty. It had silent comedy chops in the acting. She's doing like a Cockney Sparrow kind of performance thing.
Yeah.
And it made me think of Shawnee Lewis being Nancy in Oliver.
Oh,
it was one of those things you could imagine her being able to hold her own in a 60s Mary Poppins style, high-kicking, high-energy musical. She was every bit of it. When she needed to be funny, she was funny. When she needed to be beautiful, she was beautiful. It was dance of the night for me.
Me too.
Energy. The thing you said about Bill Bailey keeping the energy up, this built. She started off at top speed.
Yeah.
And towards the end, you were holding your breath because she was going faster and bigger.
And incredibly difficult, as Shirley pointed out, that footwork on the bench.
Yeah.
Where she's on a slatted bench in high heels. So you can't get your heel caught in the hole between the planks. Then you're up on the arm of the bench, which is about an inch and a half wide. And just making it look like she could barely even see where she was dancing. Just absolutely breathtaking.
The joy of a good dancer is that effortlessness. It's what you, when you watch Top Hat or something like that, or Singing in the Rain or something, you're going, oh, you're making this look like this is just how you walk. And she's got, for a non-dancer in inverted commas, the ability to make it look like this is how she moves around anyway.
Yeah,
and towards
so
the end,
natural.
Where she starts cartwheeling.
Oh.
And you thought, well, you've won this already, but you go, it's a victory lap. I've still got enough energy to end on a cartwheel and then put the energy up a little bit more to get back up on the... It was just
dazzling. Absolutely dazzling.
It's the most I've loved watching her.
Yeah.
And I think it's the most I've loved her. I thought this week she sort of crossed over into that thing of going, oh, right, you could leave EastEnders and have a West End career.
Oh,
now,
just
and
without
I would
question.
Just go and watch you be Eliza Doolittle or something. You're brilliant.
100%. In fact, if someone doesn't cast her in that, they're idiots. So Motsy and Shirley were up on their feet. Obviously, bear in mind as well, she has been filming EastEnders, though that's a filming schedule that will be punishing on its own. And she's been training. I don't know when she's been training, if she's been filming, but she somehow managed to pull that off on top of her own workload.
I think her character in EastEnders has been doing lots of ballroom dancing lessons. They've just written around it.
That's really useful.
Quite
hey. So, yeah, Shirley was just in paroxysms of joy and delight. She said she was it was a success story of the evening. She was showing us a new femininity that she hadn't sort of been allowed to show before. Mozzie said the routine had it all. Craig said she missed a swivel, even though he was nice and said it was incredible. She missed a single swivel in that dazzling, just monsoon of wonderful entertainment. But no, she missed a swivel, so she only gets a 9. I think that was a perfect 10 routine. The other two agreed, 2 tens and a 9. But Craig, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, that's him maintaining character. He's just been bitchy to Anton. He's got to stay in character
I suppose
for that.
So.
He's selling it. But again, maybe he's got faith that next week, if she could do that, she's going to do something which is worth a 30.
Yes.
He's probably got her journey in mind.
Well, maybe, yeah.
But I think this week, the really remarkable thing this week, the people I always enjoy, I really enjoyed. But the real surprise this week was both Harvey and Maisie, who I'd kind of gone, oh, there's no journey, I'm not interested in them. Both those routines were the ones that took my breath away.
Me too.
Absolutely brilliant from both of them. And their characters came through. The young kids this week were real stars.
They really were, weren't they? Yeah, I think this is definitely their episode. My favourite thing all night, outside of the dancing, was Maisie's granddad beaming live, or maybe it's a recorded message to her where she was talking to Claudia. And I just loved so much. And Mark would have enjoyed it too, because he's a sort of poverty tourist. Yeah. I really liked her granddad saying, "I don't know how you do it in them I-ales."
Yeah. I've never seen you with shoes on your feet
before. Them I-ales. Just really enjoyed that.
Someone who, again, is we all missing our elderly relatives and things. Yeah. There's something really nice about seeing someone's granddad go, "I'm loving this."
And it is. Oh, it's really sweet.
Brilliant.
And there's an extra when they say, "We look forward to seeing you every week," like Harvey's nan did. There's an extra element to that. It's not just like, "I'm looking forward to seeing you on Strictly." It's like, "I'm really looking forward to seeing you."
Knowing
you're
on
my TV, because otherwise I don't see you. And there's a heavily emotional subtext to everything this year. So Clara's gone. That's the worst possible result, but we have to move on from it. We've got 6 couples left now. It's musicals week and quarterfinal week next week. Obviously, the idea that maybe JJ pushed, the idea that Jamie is taking up a quarterfinal place slightly sticks in my throat.
Yeah.
So who do you think is going to go next week?
Next week?
Bearing in mind, Jamie was the other one in the dance-off with Clara, which would have, I imagine, quite upset him.
Yes.
So that says he gets very low votes because he was pretty high on the school board this week.
Yeah, actually, yeah. For him to get the judges' votes he's getting and then still be in the dance-off.
Yeah.
If he's
His sentiment score is extremely low.
If he's not getting tens and nines, he's at risk.
Yeah.
I don't think there are many people on there now who are either bad enough dancers or lame ducks enough to be dropping off the bottom at the moment. I'm surprised about Clara, but that was a bad week for her.
Just really, really bad luck. Like, that's all that happened there. It's just really, really a shame.
I don't know who I want to go next. But obviously you want Jamie to go because he's evil. though, of course, we'll be an excellent Prime Minister and dictator for life.
Yes, and when we acknowledge him as that, it's just a matter of time.
He's probably working on the salute as we speak.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, JJ is boring. I think that's my problem.
Yeah, I think there's very little left to know about him.
Yeah,
really.
I think not meaning he's a nasty person. I think, but as in his journey, I think he's about as good a dancer as he's.
This is
be.
Nakedly now a popularity contest. So Jamie clearly isn't getting the votes. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the dance off next week.
So I think one of the J's might be at risk.
But if
next
you're
week.
Against Jamie in the dance off now, it's not a given that you're going to beat him.
Yeah,
because although we do know that Craig saved Clara, but the women saved Jamie. So I don't know. I think he's on borrowed time. I hope he is. And the kind of funny, you know, hatred of him aside, just I want to see other people in the final. I don't want him to be there. I don't want that to be the story, that this incredibly entitled man with nothing else to do apart from try and judge the public mood and shapeshift accordingly is going to advance further in the competition. I'd like to see the other people who are just fitting this in with their day jobs and working, giving it their all. I'd like to see them
I think
go further.
With Clara gone, who is someone I really wanted to see go all the way.
Me too.
This week, the good thing about this week is it's made me want to invest in all of them, actually, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's shifted my opinion of the youngsters. And
me
I've
too.
Gone, I would happily see, with the dancers they did this week, either of them in a final, and not go, oh, they're taking up a place of someone more interesting. Because actually, they were bloody lovely this week. And so suddenly, it's changed my feelings towards the final now.
Yeah.
So I'll happily watch those two excellent young dancers get in there knowing they were just really good.
Yeah, really, really good. Well, it's going to be a lively week next week. God knows what musicals week holds for them all. I mean, sometimes it's quite tenuous, isn't it?
It'll all be The Greatest Showman. It'll all be something that you don't even know is a musical you never see. They won't be doing Guys and Dolls or Bugsy Malone or any of the really good ones about gangsters. They won't.
Actually, has anyone done Bugsy Malone? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, just someone do do
we
tomorrow.
We could have been anything that we
no,
wanted
to. No, do a waltz to tomorrow.
Hang on, can't you see Bill Bailey dancing some kind of knees up to We Could Have Been Anything You Wanted to Be?
Amazing.
That'd be so cool. Anyway, I'll see you next week. I have no idea if Mark will see you next week or not. He's that hard to pin down. He's so unreliable.
Awful
but,
man.
You know, still love him. Anyway, thank you for listening. Come and say hello on Twitter at Curse of Strictly Pod. I can't remember what I call the Twitter account. I'm so sorry. At Curse of Strictly Pod. Don't come and chat to me about how much you love Jamie. Not interested. No one has so far. They've judged me pretty well. But I don't want to hear it. And do join us next week when we'll be down to the final six and then the final five. Cool. Who's going to win? Dunno. See you next week. Keep liking, listening, subscribing, and blah, 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 bye.
I can't listen to you do that.
I'm sorry.
Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.